Come on.
Come on, Stacy. Most of our folks here know Stacy, and we're glad to have him.
We're glad to be here, and thank y'all for the great worship this morning. Boy, it's been good to get to come into the house of the Lord and sing praises.
Amen.
And be glad to do it this morning. And I'm thankful. Appreciate Terry leading us there.
Have we got him?
We're still brothers.
Yeah. He is recording.
This morning, if you would take your Bible and join me in the Gospel of Mark, chapter
He's not
8,
on.
We'll be in verses 34 through 37.
Stacy, we need you to turn your microphone all the way up, all the way to one side, and the red light on.
All right.
Got me now?
Got you now.
All right. I can mess up a two-car funeral, y'all. All right? When it comes to technology, I'm pretty helpless. So, and that's mighty simple, but Diane can tell you I've created some havoc with technology in my life. As you were talking in the kids' corner, I thought back in my ministry. I pastored in my hometown in Blairsville at Harmony Grove Baptist for almost 16 years. But one Sunday, when you're talking about being set free, I was chaplain for the sheriff's department. I borrowed a set of handcuffs from one of the deputies, and I locked myself in the handcuffs, and I laid the key on the table of my pulpit. Repetitively, I kept telling people, the keys to unlock these handcuffs are on the table. And nobody came and set me free. Okay? One person got up to set me free, and I said, you go sit back down. The devil will do us that way, okay? And he went right back and sat down. I finally had to beg somebody to come let me out, y'all, all right? But anybody at any moment could have come and set me free. And that's I want to give you something here to take with you today. You can help people be set free. You have the gospel to share with them. And we don't do it. We have the key to forgiveness, and we don't do it. So don't leave here today not knowing that you can help people. And you may be here today locked in the chains of your sin, and God wants to set you free. He's already taken care of the price of that. Jesus paid it all. Amen. If you don't mind, let's stand and honor the reading of God's precious word in Mark chapter 8. And I promise we'll let you sit right back down. The Bible says that this is written in red, all of this passage is what Jesus said. And when he had called the people unto himself with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Now Jesus says some amazing things right here. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Let me pray for us. Father, speak to us now. We desperately need to hear from heaven in this day that we live in. And God, please help us to grab the essence of the moment of the value of souls of men, women, boys, and girls. And I ask you to help us now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I am your associational missionary, and I get the honor and the privilege of serving your church and 33 more churches in our two associations. Brother Mike mentioned I put it in our newsletter, but coming up the first Sunday night in October is our annual meeting, and we're going to merge the two. There's two associations. One's in Fanning County, Morganton. The other one's Mountain Town in Gilmer County. We're going to merge those two together, and we're already working together, and we're going to become stronger and better together. So I ask you to pray for that. I'm going to be a little selfish and ask you to pray for me and five more pastors who are leaving it. I'm leaving at 4 o'clock in the morning. Oh my goodness, y'all didn't even know there was a 4 o'clock in the morning. And we're getting on an airplane in Atlanta, flying to Browning. Well, we're flying to Great Falls, Montana, going to Browning, Montana, to be there tomorrow afternoon through Friday, ministering to the Blackfeet Indian tribe, setting up future opportunities for folks just like you and Crossroad to go out to Browning to do vacation Bible schools and revivals and help with the churches, the church out there. And it's not really even an established church. It's just a people group. There's about 15,000 of the Blackfoot Indian tribe that are on this planet, and about 7,500 of them live right there in the Browning area. So be praying for our team as we go on this vision trip to set up all kind of ministry opportunities. And I'm going to tell you why I'm going. Because it lines up with the message that is before you today that God's given me. This is the message: the value of a soul. The value of a soul. I couldn't help but notice, and it'll get more and more, and I know that, right here next door at the Apple House, your pastor and I talked about what kind of a problem it becomes in late September and October for parking and everything else. But I wanted to again remind you that God's sending the world right here to Gilmer County to get them an apple. Okay? You know what? The Bible, and I can't even remember the place it's at right now, but God talks about Israel. Here's what he says: they're the apple of my eye. Okay? Now, those people that come here are valuable, even if they do get your parking spot. Hello? Remember that, all right? God loves them. And many of them, they don't have a clue about him. Okay? Y'all got an opportunity to minister to him. I'm a little bit envious of that opportunity that God has just plopped down here in your lap. But the first thing I want you to see is there is a value of being invited to follow Jesus. The value of being invited to follow Jesus. Jesus speaks directly here to an audience that the Bible says in the Scripture that he calls them unto himself. He invites them, wait a minute, he invites us with the same word, to follow him. Now, to come after him. It's a pursuit. It's a challenge. I'm a hunter. Some of y'all may offend some of you. If it does, I'm sorry. I don't mean to offend you. I believe God gave us dominion. By the way, I like to eat deer meat. I don't just shoot something and leave it laying there. I'm a partaker of it, all right? And so, I take that as a challenge. One of the men that's going with us, I'm not very good at it, but we turkey hunt together. And I'm ashamed of what a poor quality turkey hunter I am. Now, you think about this just a minute. This little we saw some on the way here. This little two-legged animal is so elusive. He's got a brain about that big around, and I can't keep up with him. That makes me mad, okay? And it's elusive, okay? It's a pursuit. But I'll tell you something. Jesus says to follow him and to take up your cross and follow him. Now, no greater journey could we ever, ever go on. Now, the weight of this invitation is enormous. It's one of discipleship. It's one that'll cost you. I'm going to tell you, when you serve the Lord, it'll cost you. On the way in here this morning, I did something I enjoy doing. I sat down at the breakfast table this morning. When I woke up, I smelled ham and sausage and gravy and biscuits. And then I woke up and there was my cornflakes. Y'all all right out there? It wasn't happening, okay? Yeah. I got to ride home with her too. Hey, we mess with each other. But, man, I sat there this morning, and I got to write an offering check. And I don't say that boastfully. We've done that our entire marriage. We've been married 32 years. Your missionary is faithful to give. I hope and pray that you are. I was excited to find the place to put. That's part of mine and Diane's worship this morning, okay? We could give back a little bitty portion of what God has. So everything I have belongs to Him. Everything we have, it's His, okay? Because I'm following after Him. It's a pursuit that I went on a long time ago. And I want to tell you something, it's not easy. It's easy to talk about it, but it becomes very difficult sometimes. You know, ministering to people can be mighty, mighty messy, okay? And especially when you fool around with folks who don't know much about the church, they don't, and that's the culture that we live in today, okay? Well, in your associational office, make you aware of this, we have, and some of your folks from your church have benefited in coming and took part of the ministry that we do. We have a free dental clinic. Now, people have to wait. There's a long waiting list. But a lot of those people are very unresponsible. Many times, it's an adult that a parent or a grandparent sees them hurting, and they'll make an appointment for them, and those people will not even show up, and you're trying to give them something, okay? And what they don't realize is when they don't show up, they're hurting the people on down the line because they missed the opportunity that we had with our volunteer dentist or medical clinic that's going on. But that's the crowd that we're dealing with. Many times these folks are bogged down in addiction and mental problems and all kind of things, and it's messy, okay? My assistant, Angie Whitener, she's a pastor's wife, and she takes care of scheduling all the appointments. Wonderful, sweet lady. She needs your prayers. She has a very difficult job. Back in late May, early June, she went with her husband and their church, and they went out to Louisiana on a mission trip, gone for a week. So guess who answers the phone and takes care of all the appointments while that? I'm not wired good for that, y'all, okay? So I thought, well, I can do that for a week. She gets COVID while she's out there. So now she's gone for 2 weeks. And I said, one more week and I'm hanging myself in here, okay? I can't do this. Thank the Lord she came back. But it's a tough job sometimes ministering in this messy, old, mixed up, confused world that we're in. But now here's the joy. We get to share the gospel. But you know, few people are willing to sacrifice for the sakes of others. I want to say something that matters right here very much. I cut up and go on a lot. I believe we ought to have a good time living. But I want to tell you something. I'm glad that Jesus Christ was willing to sacrifice for me so that I could have my sins forgiven. Aren't you glad of that this morning? And He did that. But very few are willing to sacrifice for the sake of others. And it's not easy. Y'all don't know my past. I graduated high school in Blairsville, Union County in 1986. I probably was the lousiest student in the school. I could have done a lot better. I just didn't like school. I didn't apply myself, and I just didn't do well. If I had that to do over, I'd do it very differently, but I can't get a do-over. But I graduated high school. The month before I graduated, I was hired by Georgia DNR at Vogel State Park. I worked there. I became the youngest senior park ranger in the history of the department. Had a dream career going on, and God came and intervened in my dream career. Okay, I mean, I love my job. I mean, I got paid to be outside, y'all. Okay, I was the maintenance foreman for the whole department, and it was just and God came and interrupted my plan. Let me tell you why I'm telling you this. It's easy to say I'll follow Him. It's a lot harder to do it. Okay? If that hadn't happened, I could have retired about 6 years ago. Okay? Now, hang on a minute. Now, if everything goes well and the economy goes good, when I'm 114, I can retire. All right? But I'm not complaining. I say that in jest because, boy, God's done so much more for me than I could have ever done on my own. I've had so much more value added to the joy of my life serving Him than I ever could. It's an interesting thing, though, because I didn't go to college. I'm not a seminary graduate. most preachers, that and hey, if that had been my pathway, I'd have been glad to go down that road. Let me tell you what God was doing. I went to some of the greatest leadership training that money could buy. It taught you how to manage money, finances, and people. Okay, about budgets and all. Guess what a preacher has to do? He has to work to put people in the right place, figure out what they need to be doing. He's got to manage the budgets and the finance of the church. And God was doing that, and the devil was paying the bill. Isn't that neat how God does that? And it helped me a whole lot. But I don't have any regrets. Now, if we're going to grow as a Christ follower, then Jesus has to... Now, this is very important. Jesus has to have the right position in our lives. For many Christians, he's just another option. Boy, that's the wrong position. Jesus has got to be first and foremost. He's got to be everything to us, y'all. So we got to make sure he's in the right place. Now, that goes so against the culture that we live in. It's sideways to them. And they want to have their sales first. We saw people this morning indulging in things. Y'all, hey, listen, I don't want to offend anybody about the room that you get. What do they call that? The escape room. I promise you, you'll never catch me in one of them. You're not going to lock me in something. If you lock me in something, I'll tear it down getting out of it, all right? That's just who I am now. I'm not insulting those that enjoy that. I'm just not the guy that does, okay? If you had to tell me you're going to put me in one of them one day next week, I'm going to drive one of my tractors through it so we can get out easy, all right? I'm not wired for that. And I certainly, I'm not going to spend my good money on that, okay? Now, other things I will. And you know, isn't it neat how God made us all different? But at the same time, there's a group of people that are interested in that need to be reached, okay? So there's a new people group that we can identify. But our society is developing so many things. We saw people on the way here. The river's muddy this morning because it's been raining like crazy. And there's people in that river, a tube, and it's raining like crazy. And Diane said, boy, they're out there doing rain. I said, you're going to get wet anyhow. I mean, come on, you know. I mean, but... I want a pretty day when I'm doing it and ride down through there and enjoy it. And it takes a big old tube for me. I don't know about y'all. I'm glad y'all got this big wide pulpit that helps a feller like me. But people have so many things that are drawing at for attention everywhere. I mean, I've never seen a time, and I'll be 55 years old soon. I've never seen a time when people were busier than they are right now. How about you? I mean, everybody's busy. But God's got better plans than we could ever have for ourselves. Listen to what he says in Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I mean, God wants to bless us. He wants us to enjoy things. I believe that. But we have to make sure that he's the boss of our lives. Wouldn't you say amen to that? We have to make sure he's the boss of our lives. And the second thing is the value of giving our all in surrender. Now, this sure enough goes against modern thinking. Jesus does something that I'm going to give you an analogy for, and it's a crude analogy, and I'm full of crude analogies, but a surrender to Jesus Christ goes all against modern-day thinking. I mean, he says, take up your cross and follow me. Now remember what the cross is. It's an instrument of death. You know, it's kind of funny, and some of y'all may be wearing a necklace with a cross on it. I don't know. I'm not offended by that. But have you ever thought about that? That's a token, a representation of an instrument of death. Most folks won't wear a electric chair pendant around their necklace, or a lethal injection needle. That's how we do it now. You know, it's more humane, really. But the Romans, to this day, in my opinion, found the most difficult, excruciating, painful, pretty slow agony very difficult way to kill a human being. So it could be as terrible as an imagination could bring up. Would you agree with me? It's possibly it's still the strongest, most hateful, hurtful way of death for a human being. And they discovered it. And by the way, they liked it. Okay? And so God sends his son, knowing the son comes, Jesus, he comes to this planet knowing that's where he's headed. And then he says, all right, that's where I'm headed. Y'all take up your cross and follow me. Let me tell you what that says. You need to hear this. When you serve Jesus, there's going to be some suffering come along with it. There's going to be some hardship. I told when I pastored, I had staff, I had music minister, youth minister, evangelism pastor who was my associate pastor. And we'd meet and they'd be complaining about problems and this and that. And then I said, hold on, boys. If this was easy, everybody'd be doing it. It's not. Serving in the church. Mike, you know this. It's not easy. I mean, it's hard. People, even church folks, I'm sure y'all never had anybody get mad here at Crossroad. We have difficulties. Now, Diane and I, our daughter, we had her here at Easter last year when we were here, I believe, and Lindsay and Derek came with us, and she was pregnant. I'm talking about real pregnant, okay? Now we've got a grandson. But me and Diane, we're empty nesters. We're alone. It's me and her. And you know, just the two of us, we don't always see eye to eye. Can y'all imagine her not getting along with me? I mean, look at me. I'm so easy to get along with. But just two of us. And then you take a church and you compound that. Somebody, one of my friends, he's in heaven now, had a preacher buddy, told him, said, me and my wife don't ever argue. Listen to what Buster said. That fella will lie to you about other things, he said. Okay? We all have differences, okay? And we have to work through them. It's not easy being a follower of Jesus Christ. And so he's loading the minds of the listeners that were there, called to him. It was ordinary people like us, but it was also those disciples that were going to walk day by day very close with him, okay? And he begins to tell them the reality. Hey, I'm going to be convicted by a man that has the right to judge me. They're going to judge me unfairly. I'm going to go to the cross and die. And they're like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. This can't happen. We don't want you to die. That wasn't what they wanted. Okay? They wanted somebody to lead them to overthrow the government and all kind of things. They all had their own scheme and notion. And you know that can happen in a church too. Okay? You've got, and I appreciate your pastor leading with vision, okay? And God calls a pastor to lead the church and help the church and people to come alongside him to help him. Amen? I believe that with all my heart. That's the model of the New Testament church. And so, but the reality here was so large that they couldn't grasp that God was going to risk everything. Wait a minute, you're the Son of God, and you're going to die? And they just couldn't wrap their minds around it, but they didn't know at this point, this right here. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. They didn't realize that yet. You'll find in verses 31 and 32 of Mark chapter 8. Let me just read you that. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed. Now, boy, if it just stopped right there, it'd be one thing, but it don't. And after 3 days, rise again, and he spake that saying openly. But listen what happened. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Can you imagine rebuking God. That was mind-boggling to me. But Peter did. He didn't like it. Now, Christ is our example of surrender, and he unpackages this. But let me tell you where we're at. If we're going to live and follow him, we've got to have that same mindset, surrender, suffering, whatever it takes as we follow him. And that hadn't changed. And we got to surrender every bit of territory in our lives, every bit of it. Tomorrow morning when I leave going to Montana, taking with me, I'm taking the retired missionary that was out there with him and his wife, Jeanette, for 26 years. He's going with us. Those people are going to be so glad to see him. Let me tell you what happened. He graduated high school with my parents. We've got a lifelong relationship. I love him. I'm going to tell you something. I mean this. His name's Harold Underwood. So please pray for Brother Harold. He's failing in health. But God's put a burden on my life to walk alongside this elderly preacher until he dies. I'm going to be his encourager. I'm going to be his helper. I'm going to do anything I can to help this man because he's God's man. Listen to this. He retires. They move back from Browning, Montana, Cutbank, where they live, back to Blairsville. He takes a little church up there in my hometown. But while they're moving back, his wife gets sick. Since then, the 2 years that they've been back so that they could come and retire back where they live, Miss Jeanette dies with cancer. He's lonely. He's hurting. Now, I'm not, but he's still serving strong. And he'll just weep when he talks about these people out there on the reservation. He loves them so much. And I'm praying that myself and our churches will just get a burden to do something for those folks out there. It's one of the things that we'll be doing. But we can't hold back in helping people is where I'm going with that. And so I've surrendered myself to do whatever it takes to help him finish out his journey. The third and final thing is the value of gaining it all, or losing it all to gain eternity. Man, we do a lot of things for profit. I'm around a lot of successful people. For some reason, God's put me around folks, and I'm fascinated by people who are successful. I like to study their lives and see what they did, and not just somebody that away from here, but local people. I don't know where you know it or not. In these mountains in North Georgia, there's some crafty, gifted people that have done some amazing things. And I like to study them and see what they did. But there's risk and reward. You know, a lot of people, and you study folks that are successful business people, most of them have failed many times in their ventures. You know, not everything we always do is going to be a great success. And the folks that never make any mistakes, and don't forget what I'm about to tell you, the folks that are critical and never make any mistakes are the ones that won't do a blessed thing. Are y'all with me out there? Think about it, okay? But the risk takers, and it's a risk for us to surrender all. Those are the ones that make a difference. You know, I think about the technology in the world that we live in. I mean, I'm thankful for it. You think about it. Used to, that piano, you couldn't put it all right there because it was a big old monstrous thing. And now that's a machine right there. I heard what it was doing. Man, it's amazing what you can do with that thing, and you're good with it too. Then all this technology on screen. Now, sometimes y'all don't never have any technology problems around here, do you? But now, think about it. For me, it's wonderful. Now, some folks get caught up with having a book to look at. Well, and I'm not knocking that. If that's what a church wants to do, I don't know if y'all got songbooks anywhere or not. Some churches do, some don't. Let me tell you something. At this point in life, I can't see a songbook. Whenever they printed them things, those guys with bionic eyes, I reckon. They're little. I can get her to hold it, and I'll get over here and read it from here, okay? And now, like I said, nothing wrong either way with that. But I like it up here. And besides, I don't read music anyhow, so I don't need the notes and all that, because that don't help me one bit. It does some people, but it helps me. I thank y'all for doing it that way, because I can participate in the worship that way. The folks that invented this, like Diane took some pictures of y'all. We'll post it on Facebook after a while, because I'm glad to be here. But I've got an iPhone here. I use my tablet in my sermon, and I've got a MacBook Pro, and they're all linked together. Old Steve Jobs had invented them things. They said he was a detailed person. They say, I've looked, as the old boy right below our office works on this kind of things, and I'll take my phone in there, and he's got a little magnifying thing. He'll take that thing apart. You ought to see the inside of that phone right there. It's neater on the inside than it is on the outside. No joke. It really is. And that was one of the things that Steve Jobs, when he created that, said, I want the inside to be more organized and perfect. Well, it's not perfect. It's a fallible device. But he became one of the richest men ever because of what he invented. You know what happened to him? He got a disease in his body, and it killed him. And I'm going somewhere with this on purpose. You know what? All that money he had, all that fame, all that success that man had, I guarantee you, I've never known him. I've never got the privilege to talk to him. He'd give every bit of it up for a little more life. Wouldn't you say that'd be true? Just a few more minutes of life, and I'll give all that away. I'll surrender it all. It was risky to live a life. Boy, people are taking some risk. We watched some folks on the way here this morning. We took our time. I didn't want to get killed in a car wreck on the way here this morning. Man, these people, and I wasn't going that slow. I don't drive real slow, Mike, but I was being safe this morning. There's a bunch of folks that weren't being safe, okay? I mean, man, they went by us like we was going backwards, taking a high risk, okay? And besides that, when I travel, I've either got Diane with me or a friend with me going. I want to be out in the morning. I'll have five other men with me, and I'm driving to the airport in Atlanta. I'm not going to take any risk that'll jeopardize those men's lives. Besides that, I've got something in there I like better than them. Me. Okay? Y'all got it, right? Let's be honest. I'm not willing to take a risk of this life without Jesus Christ. Okay? That's the biggest risk people are taking. And some people are going to miss out on what God has done. I've got a friend in Blairsville. We went to school together. If you're ever up that way, around the library and in Meeks Park, there's all kind of statues that Al has made up there. And he's an artist. I mean, it's amazing. He sold them all over the world. They're valuable. And he'll just laugh because he makes them out of junk. All right? And it's just old leftover pieces, and it's beautiful when he gets done with it. But there's value in it. I want to tell you about something that's so valuable. It's your soul. I've joked around this morning a little bit, but I'm right here, I'm not joking. Sitting in these chairs this morning are some of the most valuable pieces of work that's ever been made. It's you. See, it's so valuable that God sent His only Son to pay for your redemption. If you hadn't been saved, today would be a wonderful opportunity to give your heart and life to Jesus. Well, you say, well, preacher, we're all here. We're at church. We're Christians. I don't know all of you. Maybe Pastor Richard knows you that well. Maybe Brother Mike, but Carrie, maybe y'all know everybody that well. But I don't. Let me tell you what happened to me just a few weeks ago. The last church I pastored before I came here was over in Cleveland, Georgia. There was a man in that church. He's about 5 years older than I am. His name's Ken. He owns a muffler shop in Cleveland. He's a craftsman. That may sound strange to some of you, but if you ever watch the Barrett-Jackson automobile auction or some of those fancy car auctions, chances are some of those hot rods, Kent Ward put the mufflers on. People bring their automobiles from all over the eastern United States for Kent to do their work. Kent come to the church every Sunday, him and his wife, their kids. They was there every Sunday. She played the piano in the church. Me and Diane attended the Sunday school class. Chad Wingo was our Sunday school teacher. And we would, many Sundays, we'd sit right there in that same room, wouldn't we, Diane, with Kent and Stacy Ward. They've got children the same age as our daughter, and married, one of them is now. The other one just graduated. But it looked like Kent was a model Christian. But about 3 weeks ago, they had a river baptism, and his youngest son was being baptized. He'd got saved, and he's been baptized. And Kent broke down and told the pastor, who's there now, he's one of my dear friends, and the church is doing well, and it just thrills me. He said, "I thought I was saved, but I'm not." He said, I want to give my heart to Christ, and I want to be baptized." Listen, most of the time folks are playing that. They'll bring them a towel. They'll have them a change of clothes, some socks, and some stuff to appropriate to get in the water with, or maybe some wading shoes. Not old Kent. He had on his Sunday go-to-meeting clothes, and he just dove right in. No towel, no nothing. He surrendered. Okay. Now, that being said, it's done something to me. Because, and now I preach the gospel around Kent every week. But I never stopped and asked Kent, "Hey, man, tell me about your relationship with Christ." I hate that I didn't. I didn't mean to. I made a dangerous assumption. I assumed that man was a born-again Christian. He bore all the fruit, the attributes. I mean, he's a model for it. But he didn't have the real thing. So, therefore, y'all get hit with this. I'm not ever going to stand up behind this again without asking to make sure that every person that's within the sound of my voice has in fact surrendered to Jesus Christ, okay? And so, if you don't mind, have you got a song of invitation, would you please come and would y'all please stand? And if you need to be saved this morning, I hope and pray everybody here is a Christian. I really do. But if you're not, there's no reason that this very morning you couldn't get that fixed up and get it right and leave here saved and satisfied and surrendered. That being said, if you need to do that, I'd be glad to speak with you. I know Brother Mike would, others in the room. But also, you may be here and you may say, "Well, I've been saved a long time. I was saved before God called me to preach, but I weren't surrendered. I still had control and interest in Stacy. Okay? I was running the show and I was just giving God what I wanted to give him. That won't work. You got to surrender everything. And when you do, God can use you to help others and to help your, he help you too. You want to live a happy, joy-filled life. Now, it won't always be everything perfect, but joy-filled, you surrender to Jesus and you'll find what joy is. Amen? So if you need to do that this morning, why, as we sing, brother, you just lead us.
Sure.
And you follow the Lord this morning.
Peace.